This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Buongiorno, Ashley. Great to be with you once again from the Eternal City, from Roma.
Well, a big buongiorno to you. So happy to be with you, John. Thank you.
Well, Ashley, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has been talking about prayer for a real long time, since about May of last year, during these weekly Wednesday audiences. It looks like his catechesis on prayer is starting to wind down. What was the message in today's general audience, Ashley?
Yes, John, that's right. In fact, this is the penultimate message. So it's the second to last of his catechesis on prayer. And today he focused on looking at prayer as a flame that really keeps the Christian life on fire. And he looked at the importance of perseverance in prayer. So specifically what it really means to pray without ceasing, of course, that line that St. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, he said that prayer serves as an ardor, as he called it, in the Christian life, and it can never stop. It should never fail. He said he likened it to the sacred fire that was kept burning in ancient temples, like here in Rome, that eternal flame of Rome. And he said, so in a similar way, there has to be a sacred fire in each person, and it should burn continually, and nothing should be able to extinguish that sacred fire of prayer. He looked to the church fathers. He looked to St. John Chrysostom to show that prayer can be a part of all daily actions, every part of the day. Yet, we have to remember that it doesn't interrupt, it doesn't contradict the duties of a daily life, but it actually gives those same actions and duties meaning and peace and purpose. And he said that praying without ceasing isn't easy, because if one is caught up in the obligations of daily life, it can be difficult to remember God, to stop and think of him. So he advised remembering that although God, yes, indeed, he is caring for the movements of the entire universe and for every aspect of creation, he is also remembering each and every one of us personally and intimately. And Pope Francis today asked the faithful to, in turn, always remember God, too, who is constantly remembering us. Then the Pope looked to the examples of monks and cloistered religious, and he emphasized the importance of finding an inner balance, as he called it, between work and prayer. He said that prayer, if it's too abstract, you can sort of lose touch with reality, but work, on the other hand, manages to keep a person grounded. So he pointed specifically to the hands of a monk. He said, you know, when these hands are joined in prayer, have to remember that they're also very calloused from physical labor. And he said that prayer actually serves as a complement or a living backdrop to daily work, even when it's not very explicit, even when it's not obvious. He said the danger, though, that everyone should be aware of is to be so absorbed in work that you don't find the time for prayer. And then Pope Francis, again this week, looked to the episode of the Transfiguration, and he pointed out that Jesus, in the Transfiguration, he didn't stay long in what Pope Francis called that ecstatic contemplation, but instead, Christ came down the mountain with the disciples as they resumed then their daily work and routine. So it was a demonstration of that balance between prayer and work. And the Pope explained that in the relationship between faith, life, and prayer, that one, quote, one keeps alight the flame of Christian life that God expects of each one of us. And then finally today, John, he called prayer the breath of life and a kind of musical score that gives melody to our life. So he suggested getting in the habit of saying short, easy prayers while you wait in line, while you work. As a personal aside, an example, my husband John and I set alarms on our telephones to remind us to stop what we're doing and then reconsecrate ourselves in our day. And so today, finally, Pope Francis said that praying without ceasing, we have to remember, will indeed help a person not only keep that light aflame in the heart, but will also help a person find meaning and peace, John.
Well, the very inspiring message once again by the Holy Father, because the balance between work and prayer is not easy in everyday life for many of us. And I think that little reminder, we can just do little short prayers. Jesus, I trust in you, or Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, tiny little prayers to our Lord that we can do if we're super, super busy. And the other thing is, as Catholics, we can sanctify our work if we offer it up and we do it for our Lord.
So true. And in fact, right next to my desk in my home, John, I have a small picture of the Infant of Prague. And I call him my boss. So it's like I look to him to sort of regulate my day and my activities. And when I see that image, it's a reminder too to stop. And what I like to do is use the fact that I'm starting a new activity as a point of prayer. So, you know, maybe I'm finishing emailing and moving to another activity. That would be a clear time for me to stop and do, as you said, just a tiny little prayer, but it's a remembrance that everything we are doing ought to be for the glory of God, John.
We're joined by Ashley Nerona, our Rome correspondent, live from the Eternal City with the latest on what's going on at the Vatican and in Italy. What is the latest with the money laundering report that the Vatican was supposed to be releasing today?
Right. So this is something that was long awaited. And when I say long awaited, I mean that the Vatican has been actually under this is a normal part of the scrutiny that does happen when you're a member of MoneyVal, but it's been going on since the end of 2019. So a more than 200-page report has come out, and this is looking at the effectiveness of the Vatican in the fight against money laundering and the financing of terrorism. So a summary of their ratings was that they received 5 ratings of what's called substantial effectiveness and 6 ratings of moderate effectiveness. So there were no ratings of low and there were none of high. So this is considered a positive report by MoneyVal. And to tell you a little bit more about them, so MoneyVal is a permanent body of the Council of Europe. And when the Vatican went in compliance with the MoneyVal standards, then MoneyVal is specifically looking to make sure that they are in compliance with the main international anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing laws. So this all happened that the Vatican went under MoneyVal during the reign of Pope Benedict XVI. He saw the importance of this collaboration in order especially to give some accountability to the Vatican Bank and the Vatican finances. So to give you an idea, there are more than 200 countries who also implement the MoneyVal standards. And so they are evaluating things like risk awareness. They're looking for levels of national and international cooperation. They're looking for quality of supervision over the financial system and the adequacy of what they call financial intelligence. And so this it has been a very intense scrutiny and study since the end of 2019. And Vatican was given kudos in this report for things like making the Office of the Auditor General the anti-corruption authority, and also for introducing what the Vatican's calling a procurement code. And this is to fight against possible abuses in major spending decisions. So, as I mentioned, the report is considered quite positive, and it is meant to encourage the Vatican to continue to strive to do even better, and also especially to continue to strengthen its human resources and all of the activities of authorities who are involved in this fight against money laundering and the financing of terrorism. So, the point is that the Vatican is doing this as an effort to grow in transparency and financial fairness. And of course, all of these things are part of the overall mission of the Church, John.
Great. Good to know a positive report from the Vatican. Mm-hmm. On another note, this Friday is the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the following day, on Saturday, is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. How will these two beautiful feasts be celebrated in Roma and in Italy?
You know, and John, we just can't resist a good celebration over here in Italy. And
every
yes,
week.
Of course, wonderful things. Yes, every week, we, I tell you. And first of all, for the Feast of the Sacred Heart, you know, I have to tell you, John, this is a very special feast day for my husband, John, and for me, because when we got married 13 and a half years ago, we dedicated our marriage to the Sacred Heart. So this is a personal, special and favorite feast day for us, and we're going to attend Mass at the Church of the Sacred Heart of the Suffragio, which other people might know better as the same church that houses the famous Souls in Purgatory Museum here in Rome. And up north, up in the Tyrol region of Italy, which is actually my favorite part of the country. It's so beautiful up there in the Alps. There's all kinds of wonderful celebrations going on to celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart. So, for example, there will be through the center of a village in South Tyrol is going to be a band, like a big German band. All of the members wear lederhosen. It's absolutely wonderful because this is the area of Italy that has the Austrian and Germanic influences. And so then in another little village in that area, they will be keeping a tradition that they have been keeping since 1796. And this is a tradition that on the Feast of the Sacred Heart, they actually go to the top of a high area, like a mountain or a hill, and they light bonfires. And so the bonfires are meant to represent that fire in the heart of Christ. And of course, it's quite fitting that today in the audience, Pope Francis spoke about keeping that fire in all of our hearts burning as well, that fire of prayer. So it seems quite poignant there as we're celebrating this feast and we remember what's going on up in South Tyrol, these bonfires that they're going to be setting along with firecrackers and this type of thing to celebrate. And then the next day to celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, big celebration is going on in a town called Venaria, and so they are thrilled because they actually have welcomed a traveling statue of Our Lady, and they haven't had a traveling statue of Our Lady there in the village since 1948. So not only is it so special for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, but this year is also the 190th anniversary of the Marian apparitions to St. Catherine Labouré, so they are celebrating all of these good things. There is a novena that started a few days ago, actually leading up to the feast day. They are holding special masses, and then they will have a beautiful procession through the town with that pilgrim statue. So lots of wonderful things to commemorate these very important feasts of our faith, John.
Sounds very exciting. How appropriate to honor Our Lady and yes. Our Lord on these two big feasts. Grazie. All the best to your husband, John. And thank you so much for helping us to bring Rome to home, Ashley.
Well, it is a delight. So happy to deliver a little piece of Rome to home. And so many blessings to you and to our Relevant Radio family.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Noronha every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.